You're listening to a message from The Gathering. Check us out on Facebook or our website at peopleintheircity.com. Now, prepare your heart for God to speak something powerful into your life.
Turn in your Bibles one more time to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, this is the last message in our The Secret to Your Dream Life series. And so listen, one more time as we close out this series, I just want you to look right here. I mean it one more time. Come on, look right here. Just look me in the eyes, everybody. You looking? How many of you guys like TV dinners? You guys have had some of those before, right? You know what I'm talking about? A few of us, do you like those? Have we all had TV, microwave TV dinners before? Some of us, which is your favorite? I was always a lasagna man myself. The worst, in my opinion, was the Salisbury steak with mashed potatoes and mixed vegetables. Whew, right? What about this, though? Hot Pockets. Hot Pocket. Guys, look, I mean, it's unbelievable, right? You got the ham and cheese, the pepperoni pizza, the Philly cheesesteak. Yeah, okay, and so here's the best part about things like TV dinners and Hot Pockets. Like, you can go from having no meal prepared at all to having a fully cooked meal in about 90 seconds. Right? You can be hungry 1 minute, and then you can be full from a piping hot pocket full of Philly cheesesteak the next. Right? Now, I realize it's not the best Philly cheesesteak you ever had in your life, is it? No, right? It's not winning any awards. And those mashed potatoes you dipped that Salisbury steak in, that wasn't real potatoes, right? I'm not the only one that uses mashed potatoes as a condiment, am I? You guys do that too, right? But hey, okay, so it's quick, right? It's convenient. It's a microwavable meal, all right? But let me ask this. When was the last time you had some barbecue? And I'm talking legit barbecue, too. I'm talking slow cook, 12 hours on the smoker. Somebody got up in the middle of the night to check the fire barbecue. You know what I'm talking about? Like, it's tender. It's juicy. You can just pull that bone out. You got the ribs, you got the burnt ends, you got the pulled pork, you got the brisket all slathered in sauce. Hallelujah, somebody. Come on, when was the last time you had that, all right? So listen, here's the question. If you had to pick microwave TV dinner or legit holy smoke barbecue, which one are you picking? No question, right? Right, okay, so listen, follow me. We're about to get spiritual, I promise. The barbecue takes longer, is that right? But there's no question that it's the one that's going to bring the most fulfillment. Okay? So listen to me. When it comes to you living your dream life, stop thinking microwave and start thinking barbecue. You got me? Stop thinking microwave, start thinking barbecue. Listen, everybody wants to live the dream life, but most people are still trying to get there through means of instant gratification, where the least amount of effort is required. But I want you to catch this. That's not how relationships work. You following me? Because here's what we've established in this series so far. You having a real, genuine relationship with God is the dream life. The real dream life is your life filled with fulfillment, and only God's dream for your life can give that to you. So the secret to living in your dream life is you living life with God and therefore living the life that God created you to live. It's you consistently spending time in the secret place with God. Two people, you and Him, building a relationship together over time and then going out from there and living life together with God's people and with other people who need a relationship with Him as well. So it's that life of impact and significance. And I'm telling you, that's everything that your soul is craving. So nothing else is going to satisfy. That microwave TV dinner dream is just like a real hot pocket. It's gonna burn when you bite into it. Yeah. And then it's gonna leave you with more regrets than it will satisfaction. But a consistent, loving, growing, seasoned, lasting over time relationship with God will fill your life with fulfillment. So here's the title of today's message. It's all about the journey. It's all about the journey. Once again, stop thinking microwave. Start thinking barbecue. The dream life isn't about your instant gratification. The dream life isn't even about your comfort or your convenience. Come on, do you know how many people have sought comfort in life and then have achieved it, but have no fulfillment to go along with it? And I want you to think about this. Jesus lived the dream life here on earth more than anyone else ever has, and his life included the cross. There was nothing comfortable or convenient about it. And the last time I checked, God's dream for your life is for you to live more and more like Jesus all the time. In fact, watch this. I'm going to read from Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. Okay, watch what the author writes, okay? And let us sit on the cushy spiritual couch of comfort that God has set before us. Did I get it wrong? Look at this. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. Sounds like a journey to me. And check this out. Here's how we do it. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. I love this. The champion who initiates and perfects our faith because of the joy awaiting him, and I'd say because of the fulfillment as well. He endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and now he's seated, not on the couch of comfort, he's seated on the place of honor beside God's throne. Probably eating some barbecue too. Okay, so let me ask this. What does a person have to do in order to be considered a champion? They have to achieve victory, that's for sure, right? But I would also suggest this, that they've had to endure as well. I would suggest that there's been, that every real champion has had a season, if not seasons, of training and endurance they went through long before they ever achieved the victory. So listen to me, anyone who's ever made an impact on their world with God, anyone who's ever lived the dream life, didn't just magically skip over the race, didn't just magically skip to the finish line and cross that finish line. No, they ran the race with God. Stop thinking microwave. Start thinking barbecue. It's not all about life after the finish line. It's about the race you get to run with God right here and right now. Stop thinking instant gratification that, if we're honest, really won't even last longer than a week. Listen, start thinking long term. Start thinking about the ever-increasing fulfillment that can be found as you run with God and live life with him and keep getting stronger in him. Church, don't just dream about what tomorrow could look like if your immediate problem that you're facing would just go away. Start dreaming about what life could be like even a year from now, or even 5 years from now, if you would just consistently show up with Jesus in your relationship with him, keep building a relationship with him over time and live the life that he has for you. Listen, yes, there is joy in big victories, okay? And there is a great victory coming where Jesus will return one day and Satan will be locked up forever and we will live the dream life on a level and a scale like we can't even imagine right now. But Jesus never intended for you to have to wait until that victory for you to start living the dream life. You can live it right here and right now. With Jesus, there's a life for you right now that's full of ever-increasing fulfillment as you start having victory after victory after victory after victory right here and right now. Here's what will happen. You'll start running the race with God, and he'll start increasing your strength and your endurance, and then you'll have a victory, and then another victory, and then another one after that. But then maybe some more endurance is going to be required, and then you'll get another victory, and then a little more endurance, and a little more endurance, and then another victory. And another victory after that. And all along the way, you will grow closer to God, and God will be transforming you into the man and the woman that he destined and designed you to be. And you will find yourself living the dream life as your life is impacted by God, and God uses your life to impact your world, and you will be filled with fulfillment because of it. You will experience victory over that addiction and that sin. That thing will be a thing of the past. You'll have victory over that depression. That thing can become a thing of the past. You'll have victory in your marriage. That turmoil can become a thing of the past. That person you've been praying for years for, will give their life to Jesus. That worry can become a thing of the past. And you'll become a disciple who keeps making more disciples, who then go and make more disciples. You'll play a significant role in seeing Newton reborn, and that feeling of insignificance will go away as Jesus uses your life to make a forever impact on your world. Church, there's only one real dream life, and there's only one real way to get there, and it's the life, it's the journey, it's your relationship over time with Jesus. So listen, as we get ready to close out this series today, there's just a few more crucial things we need to talk about for how to live the dream life, okay, as it relates to the journey, all right? So I just got a couple points for us this morning. This is how to live the dream life as it relates to the journey. Listen to me. Number one, stay consistent with Jesus over time. Stay consistent with Jesus over time. One more time, let's read Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. We just read it, but it says, "And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us." This isn't just a one and done kind of thing. This isn't just a, I do this every once in a while kind of thing. This is a keep going thing. All right, and here's how we do this. I love this. He even explains how we do this. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, not just looking at Jesus every once in a while, not just looking at Jesus only on Sunday mornings or maybe even once or twice per month on a Sunday morning. No, we consistently go with Jesus. This is a consistent thing. This is a daily thing. This is a journey thing with Jesus. And come on, here's our main scripture for the series. Matthew 6, verse 6. If you got your Bibles right there, here we go. Jesus says, "But when you pray," when you pray, family, it's not a matter of if you pray. It's a matter of when and how often. When Jesus says when right there, he's saying that prayer, having an ongoing conversation with God, keeping your eyes on God is a given, is a consistent thing for people who say they love Jesus. And so church, listen to me. If there's no when, there's no when. You getting me? And if there's no when, there's no champion. If there's no endurance, then there's no victory. There's no reward. So he says, but when you pray, go into your room and close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done, and say it, come on, one more time with me. Everybody say, secret. Come on. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you with the life of impact and significance. All right, so here's some good definitions for that word endurance. Think about this. Lasting quality. Duration. Or I love this one. I found this. Stamina, especially under pressure. I like to think about Napoleon Dynamite. He had a t-shirt with a stallion on it. It said endurance. I picture a stallion. Because I'm a man. That's just me. If your prayer is an if thing right now, if your time in the secret place is an if thing right now, if there's no duration, if there's no lasting quality, then what's there for God to reward? Because where's the relationship? So church, listen, it's time to stop using God as your fallback plan for getting instant relief every time you find yourself under pressure. Okay, it's time to seek him before, during, and after the pressure. It's time to be consistent with him. It's time to keep your eyes on God. It's time to run the race, live the life that he has for you. All right, so listen, here's my second point as it relates to the journey, okay, for how we live the dream life. Here's number two. You've got to listen to God and then do what he says. got to listen to God and do what he says. Okay, so last week, we talked all about how we consistently should be listening to God's voice, listening to the way he talks to us through his word, and then listening to the whispers that he will speak to us. Okay, but now here's the ultimate. Here's the ultra. Here's the mega key for how you actually live the dream life. You actually have to do what he says to do. You actually have to do what he says you have to do. Should I do it like that one more time? Come on, we're getting this. You actually have to do what he says you have to do. Yeah, okay, so listen, let me say it this way. Your heart has to be in it with him. And so check this out. Okay, so far in this series, we've only ever read verse 6 of chapter 6. Now, if you only ever read verse 6 of chapter 6, you can still rightfully assume that when Jesus says to go into the secret place and pray, that he intends for you to have your heart in it. But I can show you how much he intends for you to have your heart in it. We're going to look at verse 5 now too. Watch this. Matthew 6, verse 5. Check this out. Jesus says, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues. They love to show up in church. They love to pray then and on the street corners to be seen by others. Watch this. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. They've already got it. So here we go again. Jesus says, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret, who sees what's really going on inside of your heart. Oh, man, that they're there because they want to meet with me. They're there. They're not putting on a show. Oh, man, they're here because, oh, we want relationship together. They want what I want. And Jesus says, when the Father sees that, he will reward you. Okay, you see the difference? You see that? Jesus is describing a group of people whose hearts aren't in it. They're hypocrites. They say one thing, and then they do another. They show up Sunday morning. They go through the motions. They pretend like they're good to go. But the truth is, they have no relationship with God. They do not know God in the secret place. They're not interested in doing what God wants them to do. They're not interested in God's approval and God's reward over their lives. They're interested in instant gratification. They're really just interested in the success they think can be found when other people see them acting spiritual. But God can't reward that. No, so Jesus says he's looking for people who actually want to live life with him, people who are interested in a relationship with him, people who, with their hearts in it, who show up with God and they say, God, I'm here for you. What do you want to do in and through me? How do you want me to live? God, I'm here to do what you tell me to do. Because church, listen, you can read your Bible academically from time to time. With grace, you can show up in church once or twice a month, but you're still missing the heart of God. No, the key is you having a consistent quality alone time with God where you talk with him about what's going on in your heart and where God will talk to you about what's going on in his, and you listen to him as he guides you. And as he instructs you, as he teaches you, as he prompts you, even as he corrects you, and yes, as he commands you. Which, by the way, can I tell you something? God's commands are the answers to your prayers. God's ways will lead you to the dream life. Okay, come on, just think about it. It's not going to work if you show up in your prayer time with God in the secret place and you bring your marriage problems to God, but you pray like this: God, you gotta do something about my marriage. You gotta change my spouse. You gotta fix them. You gotta make them more like this, like this, and like this, and like this. But then God says, okay, I'll do it. But first, I want you to forgive them. And then let's work on this area of your heart together. Okay, it's not gonna work if you then say, no, God, I'm not the one with the problem, they are. Okay, it's not going to work if you show up in your prayer time with God, in the secret place with Him, and you pray like this: God, I'm so sick of never having enough. I'm so sick of this paycheck to paycheck living. I need You to give me a raise. I need You to give me a better job. You need to do it right now. And God says, okay, okay. Hey, I'll do it. But first, I want you to trust Me with the finances I have given you and bring the tithe. It's not going to work if you then say, no, God! No, no, You give me the raise, then, if we're honest, then I'll think about bringing that tithe. No, come on. Listen, church family, that's microwave TV dinner faith. That's not barbecue. Come on, because that's looking for instant gratification with the hope of putting in the least amount of effort required, okay? There's no endurance there. There's no race there. That's not faith. Where's the journey in that? And I'm telling you, it's all about the journey. Or I'll say it this way, because we've talked about this. It's all about the process for the promise. Because I'm telling you, because here's what we see over and over and over again in the Bible. God says, you do this, then I'll do this. You take this step, and I'll take this step right here. You say, why doesn't God take the first step? He already did. Jesus stepped out of heaven into our sinful world. He lived a sinless life that we haven't lived in yet. He decided He would take on the penalty and the death of our sin on the cross, buried in the grave, rose again, and now we can go to God through Him and receive everything we need in life. God is just saying, now it's your turn to take a step, and then I'll do even more after that. James 4:8, come close to God and God will, His part, come close to you. Romans 10:9, confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. Confess it, your part, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, and then God's part, God will save you. Malachi 3:10, your part, bring the whole tithe into God's house. And then God's part, see if He will not open up the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you won't have enough room to contain it. But you've got to do your part. You take a step, God will take a step. He will answer your prayers. He will not fail to deliver on His promises. But you have to do what He says in order to live the dream life. Church family, God's commands, His ways, His voice speaking to you, telling you which way to go, those things are the answers to your prayers. They're the foundation, come on, they're the foundation of your relationship with God. And they're the ultimate key to living the dream life. Say it with me now. Stop thinking microwave. Start thinking barbecue. Come on, what could happen in your life? I really want you to think about this. What could happen in your life moving forward if even over just the next year, you just started consistently meeting with God in the secret place and started growing your relationship with Him and just over the next year started doing what He tells you to do? What could happen in your life? What if you just even started focusing on that one thing right there, taking that one step? Think of what could happen in your life over the course of a year. Think of what could happen in your lifetime if you stuck with it. So listen, for some of you, that's the next step. Your next step is showing up in the secret place with God tomorrow morning. And then it's showing up in the secret place with God the morning after that. And then the day after that. For some of you, your next step right now is showing up in the secret place with God tomorrow morning, and then it's listening and obeying when God says, I want you to forgive that person that you thought you could never forgive. For some of you, it's time. Your next step is to show up in the secret place with God tomorrow morning, and it's to listen and obey when He says, I want you to confess that sin so that real freedom can begin to take course in your life and you can get that thing firmly set in your rearview mirror. For some of you, it's time to show up in the secret place with God tomorrow morning and listen and obey when He says, you can trust Me right now with the finances that I've given you. For some of you, it's time to meet with God and listen to Him and obey when He says, it's time to get connected with this church family. Go through Connect. Show up in your neighborhood gathering consistently. Make an impact. Live that life of impact and significance with my favorite people on the planet, Team Reborn. Get connected. Bring the tithe. trust God and step out. Show up at the gathering more than just once or twice a month. And look, I keep saying that we should stop seeking instant gratification, but here's what I mean. I mean, stop seeking that through the wrong means. Because here's the truth. Here's what I'm telling you. Here's what I want you to see today. The fulfillment of God will immediately start pouring into your life as you start listening to Him and as you start doing what He says, even as you begin the race. I'm telling you, there's fulfillment waiting for you even as you enter the quiet place, the secret place with Him tomorrow morning. Okay, so listen, that's how to live the dream life. So I think it's vital that we cover this as well. Here's how not to. Okay, so listen, here's how to derail the dream life. Now, there's a whole bunch of ways that you can derail the dream life, but we could pretty much sum it up really easily by just saying this. Don't show up consistently with God and His people. Don't do that. Don't show up in the secret place. Don't show up in church. And then don't do what He says. And therefore, you will not live the dream life. Come on, does that make sense? Listen, the only thing that can derail you is your unwillingness to pursue a relationship with God and your unwillingness to repent. Your unwillingness to stop doing what God wants you to stop and your unwillingness to start doing what God wants you to start. Pastor Greg says it this way, the only person that can stop you from living the dream life is that person that's sitting in the seat that you're sitting in right now. It's your choice. Listen, if you won't do what God tells you to do, you won't live the dream. It's that simple. In fact, have all the secret times and places that you want, but don't do what God says, and you will deny yourself the dream. The Bible calls that hard-heartedness. And at that point, here's what we're really talking about. We're talking about willful sin. Listen, choosing not to listen to God is willfully choosing to sin. One more time. Choosing not to listen to God and do what He says is willfully choosing to sin. It's when you know what God wants you to do, but you refuse to do it. And can I say this? Even when it's just prioritizing other things in life that aren't the things of God that He wants you to do. Even when it's just getting yourself busy with all these other things and oh, I got to do this and I got to do that. Because at the end of the day, somebody had to make a choice about how those things were getting done. And you willfully made a choice. So I've shared this numerous times before, but for years of my life, I struggled with a pornography addiction. And so after I got saved, God was talking to me big time, and He was telling me, you need to confess that sin. I felt like I needed to go talk to one of my pastors. But there was a chunk of time where I refused to do that because I was afraid of what people might think. Okay, and so in the midst of that, though, I started going to the young adults group that they had at our church. And one night, the pastor handed out these cards. And on these cards, these cards had a list of things that will keep you from living in the middle of God's will for your life. In other words, the dream life. And I'll never forget, I scrolled down to about, it was probably number two or three on the list. And it just said, willful sin. Deliberately choosing not to do what you know God wants you to do. And I sat there and I smiled like I was having a great time in church that day. Like this is the best preaching I've ever heard. Hallelujah. While I was squirming on the inside under conviction, I knew what I needed to do. And so I did it. I went and confessed that sin to a person, to one of my pastors who could actually help me and bring some accountability into my life. And I'm telling you, after giving, like, there's salvation and then there's confessing sin, best decisions of my life. And hey, they really go hand in hand. Best decisions of my life. Man, those things would have destroyed me, okay? Church, settling for your sin rather than God's ways will derail you from the dream life, okay? Settling for just anything else in life that you want to choose that isn't really God's priorities for your life will derail you from the dream life. You might be having a good time, but it's not the ultimate time that God would have for you. All right, here's some good news, though, because I got one last major point. It's called how to get back on track, how to get back on course. It's easier than you think. It's so much easier than you think. And here's the good news. You can actually start today. You may feel like, man, I'm so far from the dream. You can start right now. You already made a good choice by showing up in church this morning. So here's how you get back on course if you're off. You ask God what he wants you to do, and then you do what he tells you to do. I thought you'd get way more excited about that. Come on, it's that easy. You ask God what he wants you to do, and then you just do what he tells you to do. You show up in the secret place with him tomorrow morning. You start cooking up something good in your life with him. You start doing what he wants you to do. You prioritize your relationship with him today. You listen to his voice. You do what he says. Church, that's called repentance, and God loves it. That's called getting back in the race. That's called softening your heart. And I don't care how far off the rails you are right now. And listen to me, in this moment right here, I don't care how dark you think the sin might be. If you come close to God, God will come close to you. Take a step towards him. And if you listen to his voice, and if you make the choice to follow him, then he will instantly set you back on the path. And I guarantee even then you'll start to get a taste of the kind of ever-increasing fulfillment that will begin to pour out into your life as you start following Jesus and keep moving forward with him in the race he has for you. Can I tell you something? You don't need all of your problems and all of your sins to disappear in the next 90 seconds. You really just need a long-lasting relationship with Jesus that starts today. Put him first, and everything else will fall into place. You might think you need one certain thing taken care of right now, but God's got this perspective where he can see your whole life. And so you're saying, God, we got to go take care of this. Right, I need you to do this right now. And God's saying, no, hold on. Actually, if you work with me together and let's work on this area right here, it's going to take care of all of this. Come close to God, and he will come close to you. Some of you want just God to instantaneously solve your biggest problem. And look, God can do those kinds of miracles. But even if God gave you an instant miracle right now, you have to realize it's just one moment on the whole entire journey. You've still got the rest of your life to live, and you need him for all of it. So why not come to him? Why not do what he wants you to do? Why not build your life with him, where he will build endurance and strength into your life? If you're struggling with willful sin, I hope you catch this. Be done with the willful part by just doing what God wants you to do. It's that simple. Listen to me, come on, because here's the good news. If it's when you refuse to struggle with the sin that it remains willful. But even if you're struggling, if you're at least confessing and seeking help and accountability in your life, then that means that ultimately in your heart, you've decided that your will is to do what God wants you to do. The willful part is gone. And I'm telling you, if you stick with him, yeah, he can do instant things. He can. But it's also all about the journey. If you stick with him, he's going to build your endurance in the process of your repentance. And he will give you a victory. Come on, church. It's all about the journey. Stop looking at God as your immediate problem solver and start looking to him. Start loving him like the dad that he really is. Listen, he doesn't want to be that distant dad that just sends a gift or sends some money every once in a while to make things better. He wants you. He wants life with you. And he designed you and created you to live life with him and to live the life of impact and significance that he dreamed you specifically up for. It's time for you to start a relationship with God like you never have before. It's time for you to seek him consistently in your very own secret time and place with him. And it's time for you to listen to his voice and do what he tells you to do. And here's the good news. You don't have to try to figure all that out on your own. God has given us to each other. We are better together, church family. Come on, let me just ask this. Has God been doing anything in your life throughout this series? Man, I know it. I've been getting messages. I've been getting Facebook messages and texts from people like telling me about what's been going on in their lives since they just started a secret time and place with God just even in the last week. It's unbelievable. Listen to me. God will always use his church to help all of us live the dream life that he has for us. That will never stop. And so, listen to me. Here's what I'm convinced of. What if you just even committed 1 year? What if even right now you just committed 1 year, even the next year of your life, just to show up consistently at the gathering and show up consistently in your secret time and place with God? What if, listen, and all we're trying to do is we're just trying to tell people to do what God tells everybody to do right here. Okay, what if you actually just did the things we told you to do? Just committed to doing that over the course of the next year. Can you imagine where your life would be at the end of the next year? If you just actually got connected, if you did what we said and just went to connect, if you got plugged into a neighborhood gathering and started showing up consistently, if you got yourself on Team Reborn and served regularly and began to experience the impact and the significance of helping other people get to show up at a place where they get to build and start a relationship with God. What if, I mean, if you call this place home, what if you actually began to bring the tithe? Hey, with so much grace, listen to me. This is what I'm going to bring you. I'm deciding this amount. Paul, there's a verse where Paul talks about deciding your hearts. He's talking about an offering. He's talking about above and beyond the tithe. When God's already said right here what belongs to him and what we're to bring back to him, what happens if you call this place home and if you actually just do what God says instead of trying to tell God what you're going to do? Listen, I know this is strong, but not only are you robbing God, you're robbing yourself of the dream because you're not doing what he wants you to do. What if you trust him? So listen, I'm convinced of this. We handed out a bunch of journals last week. What if you went home today or even just right now and you wrote down today's date? What you're facing, what you're going through right now, what your problems are, your biggest prayers, where you're at in life right now today. What if you journaled that? And then what if you committed to stick with us for a year, show up consistently? If you're a once or twice per month person, what if you show up 3 times per month? Show up consistently. What if you start having a consistent time and place with God? I guarantee a year from now, what's the date? October 7th? A year from now, you open up that journal and you look back on what you wrote a year ago, you will be blown away by how far you've come and the dream life that you've started to experience simply because you started doing life with God consistently and started doing what he tells you to do. I want that for you so bad. It changed my life. I'm telling you, God has a dream for your life, and you can live in it. The question is, how bad do you want it for yourself? And are you willing to do what it takes? Are you willing to stop thinking microwave and start thinking barbecue? Are you willing to run the race that God has set before you? I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Let's pray together. What's the Holy Spirit saying to you today? Come on, we talked all about this last week, and I know what God speaks to people in this place. Has God been talking to you this morning, maybe in worship, or just as we've been going through the Word right now? What's the Holy Spirit saying to you? What step do you need to take? Listen to me, I don't presume to speak for God or anything like that, but I'm just saying this. I know this from his word. He's already said it, and we just read it today. If you don't yet have a consistent secret time and place with God, if you're not getting alone with him on a consistent basis, then listen to me, that's your next step. And that's to do it again after that. And I'm telling you, we want you here. And it's no accident that you're here this morning. God is calling you. God is saying, I've got a life for you that is so far better than anything you could imagine or anything you've been trying to give yourself to before. He brought you here, and he's inviting you. Come be a part of what I'm doing. Come give yourself to me. Do you need to get connected? Do you need to go to Connect this morning? You can go right after this service gets out. Maybe you've been to Connect. Do you need to show up to your neighbor at gathering? Do you need to show up and answer those emails for Team Reborn? All these things, they're just the foundational things we're talking about for building a relationship with God. We're not coming up with arbitrary things that have no meaning, significance. These things are going to build your relationship with Him over time. What step do you need to take? Jesus, I thank you for this church family. I thank you for what you are doing, for what you have been doing in this series. I pray, would you continue to draw us, Lord? We don't pretend that we can get to you on our own. We don't pretend that we're good enough to come up with the thoughts and ideas of, hey, we need to seek out God. So I pray, would you continue to draw us? I pray when we wake up tomorrow morning, even before we do, I pray you would call our names. Some of us need you to call our names and just say, come alone, come away with me. But we commit together right now to take the step that you're wanting us to take. Come on, what's the Holy Spirit saying to you? And will you do what He says? I'm just inviting you right now between you and God. Just tell Him, God, I'm going to do this thing you're telling me to do. Just tell Him that right now. And then follow through. Follow through. Jesus, I pray for every commitment that's being made right now, every step that's being looked at and examined, and we're saying, yes, we're going to take those. God, would you meet us there? Would you help us take the step? Would you bless us as we do? I pray you would begin to pour out the ever-increasing fulfillment, Lord, that only comes from following you. We're drawn close to you. We're inviting you. Would you take that step that you promise you will and come close to us? Lord, and use us. Let us be the family that you have in mind. Come and move through us, God. Come and use all of us for a life of impact and significance. Let this city be reborn. We pray all this in the name of Jesus, and my whole church family said, amen. Come on, can we thank Jesus today? Yes, Lord, thank you.
Thanks for joining us today. Please know you're always welcome to worship with us on Sunday mornings. Also, if you would like to give to our ministry, you can go to our website at apeopleinthercity.com. We hope to see you soon, and God bless.